Welcome to the fourth episode of Multiverse Musings, a DC Comics podcast. I'm your host, Adam, and with me is co-host Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
Dude, it's going great, man. I mean, how could it not be after that Justice League trailer today? I mean, I'm happy, and yeah, man, how about you?
Oh, listen, that Justice League trailer, well, we'll get to it specifically. But I'm a happy camper, and I'll tell you why. Firstly, because you know, I had a great weekend here. I'd like to say I'm happy for three reasons. One, the fact that my favorite hockey team has started the NHL season 2-0. It has nothing to do with DC Comics, but what the hell? It's our podcast, and I'll mention what I want. So my hockey team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, are 2-0 to start the season. It is Canadian Thanksgiving here, will have passed by the time you listen to this, but as of this recording, it is Canadian Thanksgiving. So if there are any Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving to my fellow Canadians.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Adam.
Thank you. And So that's reason number two, I'm happy. And reason number three is we got what I presume is the final trailer for Justice League. So yeah, it's been a really good weekend on my end. I mean, we got some new. It's not as heavy in terms of a news week this week. So before we get to the trailer, let's talk about some news. What do you got, Jordan? I almost called. We talk about potential guests, and then I get their name confused. Jordan, what do you got for the news?
Hey, last week I was Justin. This week I'm. What did you?
You're almost Andy. So.
Oh man. All right, well, starting off with film.
It's a multiverse. He can be anybody I want it to be, right?
On Earth 2, I'm Andy, I guess. So
yeah, is that what Earth we're 3, Andy?
Yeah. That's great. alrighty, so we got the news that we did get is a lot of it's coming out of New York Comic Con, because that's going on right now as we're recording this. And we got our first poster revealed for Batman Ninja, which is going to be this upcoming anime movie. It's going to be an animated film. Like I said, it's an anime film, and it's basically like Batman wielding like two swords and like in front of a moon. And I thought it looked really cool. The film is coming out in 2018, and basically it's going to involve Batman being sent back in time to medieval Japan. I don't know yet if it's going to be in the DCU AOM line or if it's going to be sort of its own thing. It looks like the concept of it sounds pretty cool to me, and this poster looked cool. It reminds me a lot of Gotham Knights, because that was sort of anime style, that film that was in the DCU AOM line, one of the first films they did in that line, actually. This looks really cool to me. What did you think of this, Adam?
Well, it's interesting because typically I am not a fan of anime. I don't like the animation style. But this poster looks badass. And, you know, the idea of Batman wielding two katanas is... And the look of that is quite striking. Also, I train in martial arts. I do karate. And so the idea of ancient Japanese culture is quite fascinating. And Batman being sent there sounds like a crap ton of fun. Just because it's anime, you know, I'm surprised that I'm excited about that, but given the concept and what they're saying, and the fact that they're going to make it a blend of Japanese style and American style, I think has me really excited. But there's no denying that poster is incredible. If the actual animation and the story is as incredible as that, then I'm going to be really happy. And I also heard a blurb about the Joker being involved in a scene where the crowd at New York Comic Con that saw this retreated to a scene of the Joker and Batman fighting with swords on a rooftop. And, you know, to that I say, take my money. That's what it is. So I'm
There's several other characters too that we know are going to be in it, from that we heard about, or that the people at New York Comic Con heard about, and by extension that we heard about. Apparently, in addition to, you're right, the Joker, but also Robin, Two-Face, Catwoman, Harley Quinn, the Penguin, and Gorilla Grodd as well.
Well, I guess they have to put, at this point they'll put Harley Quinn in anything, I'm convinced. I'm surprised they haven't put her on the cereal box yet and had Harley Quinn cereal. Like, where's that at? But, given Batman's martial arts background, I think this makes more sense than, say, if you do a Superman anime project. I mean, that makes no sense. So, but, you know, something like Batman, where he has a background in martial arts training and he traveled the world to train, I think, you know, it gives itself, there's credence to this idea, to doing it. It makes it logical, to quote Mr. Spock. So I'm bring it on.
Yeah.
There's no release date for that, is there?
2018, but nothing more.
Yeah, but nothing specific in terms of a street date.
No, I don't think so.
All right. What's next?
Let's move into TV news. Did you want to start with what you have for that? Did you want me to?
Yeah, let's. I'll take over for this portion. So, remember, what was it? Last TV season, or was it a TV season ago or two seasons ago? NBC brought out that Constantine show.
It was 2014, I believe.
Okay, and starred Matt Ryan, it was on NBC for. What was it, 13 episodes?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
It only lasted a season. Because NBC is stupid.
Did the same thing to Powerless. Even worse, actually.
Yeah, but Powerless was a piece of crap.
Oh, I love that show.
Well, you can love it. But again, your definition of love is different from mine, because you love Batman and Robin, so...
I know, I don't love Batman and Robin.
The fact that you love, to me, like, love, it's the same stuff. So.
Oh no. So hold on, Adam. If you're saying that I love Batman and Robin, then what do you say that I think about The Dark Knight Rises then?
Oh, you're in the honeymoon phase with that film. You're just
okay.
Like, it's just
that's how you consider it.
Yeah. But at least that one I can understand. Like, that one I get. But anyway, in this instance, NBC was really stupid and they canceled Constantine. The part was played fantastically by Matt Ryan. And when I mean, he was perfect not only from a, what's it called, the aesthetic perspective, look-wise, but even the way he performed the role, I thought was pitch perfect.
I agree.
You know, I'll admit, the show started off strong, started off slow, but then got stronger with each, you know, subsequent episode. This is the nature of television. There are plenty of pilots that don't knock it out of the park and start on a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, you know, shows take a while to find their footing.
That's the way I felt about Powerless. I didn't care for the first two episodes that much, and then all of a sudden it just took off for me.
I'll tell you what episode was good. The Adam West episode that they aired online. That was it. Done. As far as I'm concerned. But See, every time you mention that stupid power list, you derail my thoughts on Constantine. what was I saying? Yeah, so, you know, most shows take a while to get going. It's just the nature of the beast. To top it off, to top NBC's impatience off, they decide to put it on Friday night. Friday night is like the nail in the coffin for most shows. Okay. To top it off, you're putting this show out at a time when Supernatural exists, right? And I think both were on the same night in that particular year. And when you have two shows that are dealing with similar themes and sort of storylines, obviously I think the viewing audience is going to gravitate towards the more established show. Plus, ratings for the CW are much different than they are for networks like ABC, CBS, and NBC, and Fox to a degree even. You could get what's considered piss poor ratings on most networks is a successful show on the CW. That's just the nature of the size of the network and the nature of the beast. So
it's why the CW considers Supergirl much more of a success than CBS did.
Right, because if it was up to CBS, Supergirl wouldn't be here, wouldn't be going into its third season. So Constantine, unfortunately, was victim to cancellation. However, it grew a very strong online following. And they've been campaigning since, that show went off the air to have it brought back in some way. And so much so that campaign, it didn't get it picked up, but it did get actor Matt Ryan an appearance on... Was it season 4 of Arrow?
Yeah, it was season 4.
Okay. And so I thought, I didn't like, on the whole, season 4, but that episode with him was one of my favorites. And to further that, the CW, you know how they have that Vixen animated show on CW Seed? Well, there's a Constantine show coming on CWC starring the voice of Matt Ryan. And he's very much animated in the style of how we remember him on the show. Mind you, that's Constantine's general look, so you can't really change that up too much. Unless you're the Keanu Reeves version, which totally... we're going to take the name of Constantine. I mean... We'll deal with that film in another episode, but you can't really change the look unless you're pre-2005 Warner Brothers that are like, screw it, all we need is the name of the character and everything else we can change. See Catwoman as another example of that. Another one of your favorite films there, Jordan, and I'm so gung ho to review that.
That's going to be fun. That's a film. I like that film even more than I like Batman and Robin. So,
Jordan, I'm going to send you some links to Alcoholics Anonymous because I think you may have a problem. After this episode, I'll forward over those links. But anyway, CW Seed is producing this show, and at New York Comic Con they revealed the poster. I thought it was cool because it has John Constantine in the foreground and he's like sort of concocting a spell with his hands. And in the back, and of course he's got the cigarette in his mouth. And in the background, he's surrounded by all these demons, different kind of monsters and demons. I thought it was really cool. And I'm looking forward to that CWC show. The other bit of news we got, and this is coming from International Business Times. I don't know since when they cover... anything DC, but apparently they do have a media and culture section. And according to them, via producer of Legends of Tomorrow, what is his name? Phil Klemmer, I think it is.
Yeah.
Constantine has been booked on for an episode of Legends of Tomorrow this season, and it will star Matt Ryan returning the role. And the reason they said they're able to bring Matt Ryan on is because season 3 of Legends has more of a supernatural feel to it. I'm so down for this CWC show, and I'm so excited that he's going to come on Legends, because Legends is a show that I think is perfect for him, because they do wild and crazy shit, you know, week in and week out. So it's a perfect spot for him. So I'm excited for both, and I'm happy that his version of the character lives on, whether it be animation or various guest appearances on the other Arrowverse shows. And look, I know the CW is getting a little full, but if his appearance on Legends is well received, and if that CW seed animation is well received, hey, the CW is going to be without Vampire Diaries and the originals pretty soon. I don't know. Constantine, a revival of the in live action form, could be a good fit for them. Or, how convenient, DC has its own streaming service. I don't know. It sounds like a good place for it to me, especially because all those fans that are campaigning for Constantine to return, I'm willing to bet that they'd pay for more live action adventures. Just a hunch on my part. So Jordan, I'm on board with both of these things, the guest appearance on Legends and the CWC series. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm really excited about both of these as well. I very much enjoyed the Constantine TV series, the NBC one, and I really enjoyed seeing Matt Ryan in the role again, both on season 4 of Arrow, and also let's not forget the Justly Dark animated movie where he voiced him.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to be reviewing that at some point.
Yeah, eventually down the line we will get to it, I'm sure. That was a very good movie. And Matt Ryan, of course, it was great to hear him reprise the role. The poster looks cool. I mean, there's not a lot to say about him. But he's not actually smoking in the poster. I'm looking at it right
now. My mistake. I thought he was smoking.
It's good.
I'm synonymous with Constantine is a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if somebody asked you to like bend money whether it was or wasn't, and they didn't show you the poster, I mean, I feel like smart money is that he is.
Yeah,
so.
Flip a coin like Two-Face. And
yeah.
Chances are you're going to be right.
It is a cool poster, and I'm excited to hear that he's going to be on season 3 of Legends, because, like I said, I did really enjoy his appearance on Arrow. However, I actually did really like season 4 of Arrow, but one of my complaints about it was that they went they went a little bit too far in terms of focusing on the supernatural stuff, and I feel like Arrow works better when it's grounded. But I feel like Legends would be a much better fit for Constantine. And I remember Phil Klemmer actually talking about earlier, I think this summer actually, that he wanted to see Constantine, that he wanted to see if he could bring him onto the show. And so it's exciting that it looks like he got his wish and that that's finally happening. One thing that I'm wondering about with both the animated series on CW Seed and with his appearance on Legends is if perhaps we'll see any continuation of the storyline from the TV show, because it did sort of leave on a cliffhanger, the Constantine TV show. Or if at least we'll even see some of the supporting cast from that show up on either Legends or on the Constantine animated series.
Yeah, I really liked the girl that could draw. She was.
Yeah, she was a great character, and of course Chaz, and there was that big cliff. I don't want to reveal what the cliffhanger was at the end of Constantine season 1, but there was a big cliffhanger too with a certain one of the characters. So it'd be cool to see that if we finally got some payoff.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Jordan. And
here.
Two thumbs up for me. I got your name right. At some point on this show, why don't we go back, because it's only 13 episodes, and do a retrospective on the actual Constantine show?
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. That'd be fun.
You know, a few people out there in on the internet or the podcasting space wherever you listen to this, if you'd want to spare me and I know you're going to want to see me review or hear me review Batman and Robin, because you probably want to see, you want to hear me in pain. But if you want to spare me of having to review that travesty, and would rather see us review Constantine sooner, write notes in this in the comment section, leave notes on Facebook, you know, hashtag help me, whatever that, you know, whatever you want to. However you want to phrase it, but if we get enough votes to do that before Batman and Robin, we will. But so help me out there, folks, or else I may turn to drinking when we have to review that movie. But yeah, we will review Constantine one way or another. We're going to review it. But so continuing, you're on board with this, is that what you're?
Yes, I guess that is the I'm on board with both of them, as I guess the.
And you know what I think. I'm curious about what you said too. Is it going to have characters from the show, or does that allow us to see characters like Dr. Fate on this, you know, on the more mystical DC characters on this animated show?
Because Dr. Fate, if I remember correctly, we saw his helmet in Constantine.
Right. We did. And he was done. Listen, I'll say this. His appearance on Smallville was phenomenal. I loved it, Dr.
Fate. I agree.
So, yeah, but you love everything about Smallville. I mean, the episode where Lana turns into a vampire, and that ridiculously stupid episode.
Okay, here's what I'll say about that episode. I don't want to get off on a tangent about Smallville, because you know I will as soon as you bring up Smallville.
Yeah, yeah.
I do love that episode.
Of course, folks, can we have a writing campaign? I'm talking seriously. Am I the only one alarmed by all the stuff he likes that I've mentioned that is, you know. Go ahead, continue. I'm very alarmed here.
Smallville season 4 as a whole, and particularly that episode, the Vampire Lana episode, that's what you're talking about. That was season 5, actually.
I don't care where it happened. It was terrible.
For a second, I thought you were talking about the witch storyline with Lana that a lot of people don't.
Yeah, that's just as stupid, but continue.
But anyway, the vampire episode with Lana, it's so out there. In fact, I think it's the most absurd episode of Smallville, but I think it's so much fun. Like, I freaking love that episode.
Isn't that the episode where Carrie Fisher guest starred as the publisher of basically the female version of Perry White, the editor of the Daily Planet? Isn't that?
I can't remember if it was that episode, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
If it was that episode, that's the only redeeming quality of that episode. There was a hot tub, and Lois and Lana were in the hot tub, and or something. Anyway, there were three hot girls in the hot tub, and a pizza boy came over. And in that one instance, I never wanted to be a pizza boy more in my life. But those are the only two redeeming qualities of that episode.
Come on, you can't tell me that episode wasn't fun, though. I mean, I know it's kind of an absurd story, but
drunk or high, I'm sure it was fantastic. But I was neither of those things at the time.
Oh my goodness!
You know, maybe when I rewatch the DVDs, I'll take some Benadryl or I'll hop myself up on some Benadryl or something, and see if that episode gets any better. But Lucid, I remember I thought it was terrible. But what was I saying? See, I got all the horrendous things that we're talking. All these horrendous things that you, for some reason, you have. I applaud your passion. I love that you like this stuff, but I just can't.
Well, thank you. Smallville and the word horrendous never, ever, ever belong in the same sentence.
Sir, hold on a second. Fast and the Furious, Pete. You're telling me you like that episode?
Yeah.
How can you like that episode?
I'll tell you this, Adam, because I think this should. And all the questions that you might have about this, there is not a single episode of Smallville that I do not love.
All right, listen, I don't.
So.
Fair enough.
Take that for what it is.
All right. So, bottom line is Jordan's one of the few sane things Jordan likes. Constantine, he's on board with Constantine getting new life via CWC and on Legends of Tomorrow. before you go off on another small little tangent, what any other news?
Yeah, we just had a little bit of news from Black Lightning as well. We got a cast announcement. Jill Scott has been cast as the villain Lady Eve, who...
What is she? You said she... you cut out there. You said she has some credentials?
I said Grammy winner.
Okay, there you go.
But she's actually the second musician that they've cast on the show, although she has a lot more acting credits to her name than the first one does, so I'm a little bit more confident about her. I mean, I'm confident in both of them, just like I really trust the DCCW, because they've done such a great job casting in the past, so I trust them on both. But with this one, I was a little bit more confident just because she actually does have a lot of acting credentials to her name besides just being a musician. But she's been cast as Lady Eve, and I had to look up who Lady Eve was, to be honest. But she has ties to Cobra, and so it looks like, I'm looking at the EW article about this right now, and apparently, you know what, I'll just go ahead and read the blurb from this. This is from an EW article from Chancellor Agard, and the blurb says that Grammy Award-winning singer Jill Scott is joining the cast of the CW's forthcoming superhero drama to play DC Comics villain Lady Eve, who will be the bridge between Tobias Whale and a secret group of corrupt leaders. Always a consummate professional, Scott's on-screen alter ego presents herself in Freeland as the owner of a funeral parlor, but quickly becomes an adversary to Black Lightning.
Yeah, I really don't know much about the character. And I know even less about the actress / singer. Normally, I get very concerned when they cast singers in any role, whether it be television or film, because for me, with the exception of Will Smith, none of them can act. But again, you tell me she's got lots of acting experience, and I trust the people over there casting the DCCW verse, so I'll give it a passing grade for now because I trust them. So,
The thing that stands out to me the most about this is more so than the actress or the character specifically, just because I'm not familiar with either. But if we got Cobra on the show, I think that would be really exciting for me.
Well, isn't that who she's playing?
Well, she's not playing Cobra. She's playing Lady Eve. But Lady Eve in the comics has ties to Cobra.
Oh, apparently. Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to give you Cobra at some point. But yeah, look, I'm from that trailer / sizzle reel, I'm looking forward to Black Lightning, actually. I think it's fantastic. Or it looks fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
And especially the family element of it, I'm really excited by.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like it's going to be, in terms of the family element, it's going to be sort of different than what we get really with the other Arrowverse shows. I mean, not that we don't get some family stuff with particularly with Supergirl, with Kara and Alex, but and a little bit with The Flash too, I guess I would say. But I think to really have a family oriented show that focuses on sort of a superhero family, I think that would be really cool.
Right. And the other thing that I the other piece of news that I know of, and if you have anything else to add, you can. But this was made public, literally a couple hours before we began recording. At New York City Comic Con, it was revealed that Batman the Animated Series is getting a Blu-ray release. Via Warner Archive, who handled Batman Mask of the Phantasm Blu-ray transfer. Look, everybody knows how much I love that Batman the Animated Series show. I have all four seasons currently on DVD. But damn it, for that show, and usually I don't do this, but damn it, I think I'm going to double dip and get the Blu-ray. Provided it's not like some $300 affair. Because I think that's ridiculous. But like the, for instance, the DCU animated movies. I have all 30. I'm not going to pay another $100 some odd dollars for that that box set just because it comes in a fancy box. you know, so it's, well, you know what's funny? I think Andy DiGenova on Holy Backcast, on their episode, they said they should have a some kind of policy for people who have all 30 of them to sort of return their copies via or send in a code and get copies or something of it and get a copy of that box set in exchange. That's a genius idea. Is there a petition we could sign for that? I agree with Andy DiGenova 100%. And that's not because I think he's a good guy and he's going to come on our show. It's just a genius idea. So well done. I think it was him that came up with that. If it's not, I just give you credit for it. So take it and do a victory lap because that's a great idea. But yeah, I think I'm going to double dip for that. And the only other thing I double dipped for. In terms of upgrading from Blu-ray to from DVD to Blu-ray, were Superman 1 and 2. I did, and then I got the Batman Quadrology. So yes, I have two versions, ladies and gentlemen, of that horrendous pile of cow dung known as Batman and Robin. I have the VHS somewhere. It's never been opened. It's probably in a box still with cellophane on it. It's never been opened. But I have two copies of Batman and Robin because I bought the quadrology. And I'll tell you this, because I love the listeners of this show and I love recording this show, when we do a review of that painful atrocity, it will be the first time I'm opening the DVD, or sorry, the Blu-ray case. So I'm doing it for you people. I just hope that you know, when I fall down on the sword and have to grin and bear it, I hope you people realize how much I care about this podcast and about all the people that listen. I just want you all to know that. So those are the only. Oh, and the Dark Knight trilogy. I bought that nice the box. The box set, you know, that they came in that fancy box. Remember, you know what I'm talking about, that.
Yeah.
I bought that. I had all three versions on Blu-ray already, but I bought the box because it came with that nice booklet with all the art and stuff. And I said, I gotta buy it. And I did. So those are the three things I double dip for. And like I said, unless the price is absolutely out of this world ridiculous, Batman the Animated Series will be number 4. So George Costanza, I know you said no double dipping, but sometimes it's necessary. anything else news wise, or can we just get on to the real show?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is what everybody's waiting for. You know, is this Justice League trailer?
Well, we're gonna stream it. You know what? Now that I thought about it, because you people are making me. Excuse me. I'm losing my voice at the prospect of having to review Batman and Robin. But because you people are making me, in a way, do Batman and Robin, I'm going to make you wait just a little bit longer for our trailer thought. I want to get your thoughts, Jordan, on the end. Hey, two out of three ain't bad on your name there. but I want to get your thoughts on a little bit of the marketing so far in terms of the posters. Now, we've had, of course, at Comic-Con, we had that fantastic Alex Ross-inspired Justice League poster.
Yes.
Since then, we've had the one where the four character profiles with the color. Batman was blue. Flash was red, obviously. Aquaman was green. Cyborg, I think, was gray.
I can't remember the colors.
And Wonder Woman had a gold or something like that. But
yeah.
But you know what I'm talking, the ones with the color background.
Yeah, I know exactly.
And then just in anticipation of the trailer, They had those all-in character posters that the characters were in the action shots.
Yes.
So Batman was sort of crouching or in mid-leap, I guess. Crouching slash leaping. Aquaman was throwing his, or getting ready to throw his trident, probably a parademon, although there was no parademon present in the photo. Flash was running in sort of like a, he looked like he was in a starting position of a 100-meter dash or something. Wonder Woman was blocking, deflecting with her bracelets. And Cyborg was doing, well, I really have no idea what Cyborg was doing. Some funky looking pose. And then you had the words all in on the poster. What did you think of those? Which one of the posters out of all the three that I just mentioned, what is your favorite?
My favorite, well, in terms of the character, in terms of the style of poster.
Let's do both style and character.
Okay, I would say in terms of the style of the poster, the most recent ones have been my favorite ones.
The all in ones.
Yes. Yeah. In terms of the character, yeah, it would probably be, it's tougher with the character ones. I'm tempted to say Batman. I mean, he's my favorite character, so I mean that's part of it. But I'm tempted to say Batman. But I also thought that the Flash one looked really cool for that. So,
All right, cool.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, for me, look, nothing that they put out from now. No, I could be eating my words in about a week. Or two or three or whatever. But you know, I'm sure they're going to release some more posters before all is said and done with this marketing campaign. Because look what happened to Wonder Woman in the last month. We were getting, and it seemed like a poster a week, and they were all one was better than the next. But up until this date right now, nothing is going to get my all time favorite poster for this film is the Alex Ross inspired team shot from Comic-Con, San Diego.
Yeah.
That's the all-time best one. You know, the You Can't Save the World alone with all the logos and such. But the ones with the color background didn't, like the profile shots didn't do anything for me. Like I just, they weren't bad. They just didn't excite me at all. They were just, all right.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
But the all-in stuff, man, there are three that... Okay, I'll say this. My all-time favorite is Batman because, look, I adore the Dark Knight trilogy, but Zack Snyder and the DC film universe, aesthetically, Batman has never looked better, in my opinion, than he does in these movies.
I think he looks. I disagree, but I think he does look great. So I'm not taking anything away.
But I love that poster where he's sort of crouching or whatever he's doing there. But the other one, obviously, the one, you know, the Aquaman just looks like he's having. He's just looks like two things. A, he's having so much fun. And B, he's ready to kill a parademon. And he just looks so badass. I just love it. And it's a total 180 from the perception of Aquaman. And that's why it's so striking and stands out. And the Wonder Woman with her and the bracelets, it just evokes everything. Everything you want and that you loved about Wonder Woman in the first movie. It just brings back so many, you know, I know the movie just came out, but it just makes you want to watch that movie again. Like it brings back so much, you know, warmth and love for that movie. And then Flash, I mean, the Flash one looks cool. My only question is, how does he not have a backache? Because that pose looks like it's breaking his back. The only one, what's that?
I think you're about to say what I was about to say, so go keep going.
The only one that looks awkward to me of those all-in posters is Cyborg. A, because I have no idea what the hell he's supposed to be doing. B, because, look, it's the character is, the armor is all CGI, right?
Yeah.
Because Ray Fisher got to wear those CGI, I call them the CGI pajamas. And look, we'll get you know, in movement from the other trailers that I've seen, and I'm not, and I'll mention this trailer when we get to it. But the previous trailers, he looks good when it's on screen in movement. But, and even stills from the actual film, but in promotional material, that thing, because of the nature of the CGI, it's going to look a little bit wonky. It doesn't look bad. It just looks a little wonky, that poster. And so, that was my least favorite.
I agree. That is what I was about to say, was that poster looks, he looks kind of weird in that poster.
Well, finally, it took you half the episode, but you're finally making sense. Go on, continue.
No, I was just going to say, I do think that, like, okay, and I'll say my favorite set of posters, it wasn't one of the ones we were just talking about, my favorite set of posters is the one with them, with, like, the JL behind them, and they're all standing, like, that's my favorite set
of posters. Yeah, the only thing, I like that one, because it reminds me a lot of the Justice League animated series.
Yes, exactly. That's what I love.
The only negative I have is that white logo on Batman's chest. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, it looks weird. It's weird how they, but you can make the same, like, it, I don't think Batman's actually going to look like that in the movie, which is what's weird about it to me, but you could make the same thing about, you could say the same thing about the most recent Batman posters, because they like tinted his suit blue in those, and his suit's not blue in the movie.
Yeah, I get that, but his suit is blue in in the animated series, and in some comics, we've seen a blue tint on his suit. This white thing came in out of nowhere. Like, it came out of nowhere. Like, I've never seen it before. This is the first time I've seen Batman with a white, gray, not gray, white. Let's call it what it is. White emblem.
It looked kind of silverish. Hold on, I'm pulling up the poster now. It looked more silver than white to me.
All I know is it stood out like a sore thumb, and it's the one negative I have about those posters.
It sticks out to me because it's not what his suit actually looks like in the movie. However, if that were what his suit actually looked like in the movie, I think that would be awesome. Like, I like
don't
that.
Don't give
so
him any bad ideas. That white is terrible. I swear to God, you've and I'm going to kind of spoil the trailer talk. You've done almost everything right here. That would be your first misstep, damn it. If I see that suit in the film, it's going to piss me off. It's going to remind me of that sonar shit that we saw in Batman Forever and Batman and Robin when he started changing suits every 5 minutes. I don't want to see it.
Okay, I'm looking at this poster right now. It is not white. It's like silver. It's like a metallic silver.
Whatever. It stands out like a sore thumb and it's so off with the rest of the goddamn characters. It's ridiculous. But anyway, my point is, please don't do that in the movie. Like, we got our tactical suit. I love it. And given that you're fighting parademons with all that red in the sky, Batman doesn't want to damage his retina, so he's putting those goggles on. I dig it. Cool. I'm good with it. I like the tactical suit. It reminds me of the Arkham video games. Great. And yeah. I like the BVS suit, and you know the pre tactical suit, and I like the kicking Superman's ass suit from BVS, whatever it's called, the Frank Miller, you know, the suit.
Yeah, the mech.
Yeah, I call it kicking Superman's ass suit because that's what they used it for. I like that suit. Don't put the silver, whether it's silver, white, I don't care what color, turquoise, I don't care what color it is. I don't want to see it in the film. In the poster, yeah, I'll live with it because I don't need to put that in my room. But I don't want to see it on the film. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Speaking of the film, what a segue. today, or as of this recording, which is Sunday, October 8th, Warner Brothers released, in conjunction with New York Comic Con,
I think it's the third official trailer, but then if you count that Comic Con teaser we got last year, then I guess you could consider it the fourth trailer.
And I presume this is the final trailer?
That would be my assumption, although then again, with both BVS and Wonder Woman, we got one sort of extra trailer that we weren't expecting, so there could be another one, but I think my guess right now would be that this is going to be the last one.
All right, fair enough. So let's start talking about this trailer.
Hell yeah.
How do you want to go about this, Jordan? Are you going to take it?
Well, I mean, I guess we could start with our overall thoughts of the trailer and then sort of dive into the scene.
All right, give me your overall thoughts of this trailer.
I guess overall, my thought would be that I thought this trailer was phenomenal. I loved it. I think I've been going back and forth between whether I liked it more or less than the previous trailer, which I also loved. And so right now, I'm sort of they're sort of neck and neck for me, to be honest. I thought that the trailer was great. I don't think it revealed too much, because what they did, and I'll get into the specifics of this in a little bit once we get into the specifics, but they didn't reveal Superman, but they gave us Clark, but they didn't reveal anything about how he returned. So I thought that was sort of brilliant how they did that. I think there was some great acting in this trailer, some great humorous moments in this trailer. And overall, I mean, it would be hard for me to get any more excited for this film than I already am. But this trailer, I mean, it certainly tried to do that, because I would say that it did get me even a little bit more excited than I already was for this movie. So my excitement is just through the roof, and I think that this trailer was, if it is the final trailer, then it's a great final trailer to really be that final push to lead right into the. Right into the movie. So, yeah, what did you think overall, man?
I flat out 100% loved it. I'm kind of like you, where I don't know. I'm toggling between whether I like this one more or the Comic-Con trailer more. And you know what it is? Ultimately, they're accomplishing two different things. Whereas I think the Comic-Con one was an action-heavy extravaganza of a trailer. This one had action, but it was more focused on a tone. It was all focused on the team coming together again, you know, reaffirming the union of the team. And it really harped in on where the last one kept telling us, you know, Superman was a beacon of hope, and it was kind of showing us that the world was going to hell in a handbasket, which means this is why the Justice League has to come together. In this trailer, though, it's really showing that Batman uniting the team is his fulfillment of the promise he made to Superman when he, you know, at the end of BVS, when he says, "I failed him in life, I won't fail him in death." That creating the Justice League, forming the Justice League, is the fulfillment of that promise. And to me, it was very much more of a character-driven piece, in the sense that it showed us. I love that we got into really what hit me was that it was given, even though it was surrounded by a bunch of action, it was a very emotional piece. It was upbeat. It was a very, the tone was very upbeat. And I loved it. Like, and again, I'm not going to get into the debate of, well, the tonal shift is because Joss Whedon is on board. I don't know if that's 100% true, because Zack Snyder and Chris Terrio have been saying since the BVS press junket that was the intention of the film anyway, to go lighter. So I love this trailer. It's trying to accomplish a different thing than the Comic-Con trailer was.
Well, I think the other thing, maybe here's what it is. Here's what it is, in addition to that, is that I think that the Comic-Con trailer might have been a better trailer overall, but the opening scene of this trailer does so much to bring it close to the final, like, the opening scene of this trailer, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is it is such a boost for this trailer for me. Like, it ups it 10 points for me.
And the best part was, like you said, they found a way to show Superman without showing Superman.
Yes.
And so with that, let's get into the specifics of the trailer.
Alrighty, well, we got to start with that opening scene then, right?
Yep. You take us through the trailer. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the opening scene is basically you see Lois at the Kent farm, and then you see Clark out in the field, and he's there, and he's there, and it's really like, I just love Man of Steel. It's my favorite of the DCEU movies, and it's one of my favorite films of all time, to be quite honest. And so to see, just anytime we see the Kent farm again, we saw it at the end of Batman v Superman, and sort of any callbacks to that, we actually saw it twice in Batman v Superman, I should say, but especially at the end of Batman v Superman, any callbacks to that, and getting this callback here to that, I think that's really great and really emotional. And then what you start hearing is the Man of Steel theme playing, and oh my goodness, I just about cried, because that theme, I talked about it last episode, it is so gorgeous. It is like one of my favorite pieces of music, if not my favorite piece of music ever. And to hear that start playing, and it just got me so, it got me so emotional to hear that theme again, that Hans Zimmer theme. And Lois is there, and she starts talking to Clark, and he points out the ring on her finger, and then all of a sudden she wakes up.
He says, when she comes out, and he says, I'll take that as a yes. And she's like, what? And he's like, the ring. And then it intercuts with a scene from BVS when she's dumping the sand on the grave.
Yeah, from the funeral. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and then she wakes up.
Then you realize it's all a dream. So I'll be honest, when I first saw that scene, though, in the trailer, at first I was like, oh my goodness, is this him after he's been resurrected, going back to reveal to Lois that he's still alive? And then I realized when it was a dream, and I was like, oh, okay. And that's when I was like, wow, that was really brilliant.
I was kind of having my take on it is, before I get into what you said about the theme and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
When I first saw Clark, first I saw the farm, I'm like, all right, cool, Lois. And then I saw him in the distance. And then I said, oh. And then she got closer, and he starts talking, and I'm like, what are they doing? I'm like, why are they, look, he's there. I've got no context as to how he came. Why is he, how is he resurrected? I don't need to know this crap now. I want to see this in the film. Don't show me that. So I was a little bit worried. Like, I was happy to see him. I'm like, oh, there's Clark. But then I'm like, please make this be something other than what, like real time, quote unquote. Make this be something, and then sure enough, it's revealed, and I'm like, oh, thank God. Because what I'll say about the dream again, the dream sequence was perfect, because again, like you said, they've managed to show us Superman without showing us Superman.
Yeah.
And they showed us what I think is the true bridge, like the true version of the Superman character in this universe, which is we're seeing the real Clark Kent slash Kal-El when he's with Lois. So that to me is indicative of his true persona. And what really got to me was, first of all, a couple of things. That music, like you said,
it's beautiful.
And I said last week that I'm cool if theoretically they wanted to bring in the Donner music for when he returns and do that, bum, 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 the whole nine yards. If they want to go the whole route, then I'd be okay with it. But this is proof that they're not going to abandon the musical connectivity of the DC Films universe.
Yeah.
And I don't ever, like, bring in the John Williams theme, fine. But I've always been an advocate of, no matter what you do with the 78 theme, don't discard the Hans Zimmer Man of Steel theme, because it is just as vital and just as powerful, and just as evocative of the character as the other piece of music. And remember on last episode, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'll give myself a pat on the back, circa Mr. Perfect in the good old WWE days when it was called WWF, not this WWE shit. So I'm gonna pat myself. I'm patting myself on the back. Did I not say, Jordan, that the likely scenario was that they weren't gonna get rid of the Hans Zimmer theme? Isn't that what I said?
Thank you.
Whoever cut this trailer, whether it was a Trailer House, whether it was Zack Snyder, well, it wasn't Zack Snyder because he said he's not involved. Whether it was Trailer House or Joss Whedon, whoever cut this trailer, thank you for validating what I said last week.
And I'm really glad you were right, because it would have been a tragedy if they did do away with it. Because just right here in the trailer, as soon as that theme starts playing, I start getting emotional, because it's just so. I mean, it's. I keep saying it. I've said it like four times just on this episode already. But it's so. It's such a moving piece of music. Like, it's gorgeous
You know what else this scene did for me? This whole Clark and Lois in the farm on the farm did for me.
Uh-huh.
I had this, as if I didn't want it before, I want it even more now. Warner Brothers, if you're listening, I get it. We got to keep the pretense. He's dead. He's dead, so we can't announce anything. But after I saw this scene, I'm like, I want a Man of Steel 2 or Superman Man of Tomorrow, whatever the hell you're going to call it. But I want a straight up solo Superman Man of Steel sequel. As soon as possible.
Yeah. My guess is that they'll announce it like the week after Justice League.
And if for some reason you people don't make one, shame on you.
It's their fault.
It's their fault that they have these asinine expectations on Man of Steel that after the pieces of... After the piece of crap that was Superman 4 and after the extremely... underwhelming, to kind of quote Young Justice, the extremely underwhelming Superman Returns, to put the expectations of, Man of Steel is going to make $1 billion, and the sole reason it's going to is because we got Christopher Nolan's name as producer, is your stupid expectations. You shouldn't put it on Superman. And this scene, to me, okay, reaffirms the fact that I want a solo Superman film. And you better do it. Because Henry Cavill is great in the role, and if given a chance, he does for me already, because I love Man of Steel, but he could reach that echelon that Christopher Reeve has reached in pop culture's consciousness as Superman, if given the right story. And so make it happen, damn it. Because look at this scene. Look at their chemistry. That's Lois and Clark. And look at him again. Look at him smiling. Did you see the smile on his face?
Yes. To all the people who said that Superman never smiles in the DCEU.
That's a bullshit. And I'm gonna get into this again in Man of Steel. But that is such a crock of shit. I'm sorry, it's not. It is. Go watch the flight sequence again. The first flight. Go watch his reaction upon realizing he could fly.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
Go watch the scene in BBS when he comes home and Lois is in the bathtub. Now, I get it. Getting in the bathtub with your clothes on is ridiculous. It is what it is. Clark, you should know better. You've been raised by two wonderful parents, and you made a big mess. I'm sure that's not what he was concerned about. But when he's having a moment with Lois, he's smiling. You know why? Because she's his tether to humanity. She's the one that brings out his humanity. His parents, yes, but she reinforces it. She's the one that keeps the man who can fly grounded.
Yeah. I mean, you just look at the end of Batman v Superman. You are my world.
And he even gives her a smile in the midst of, I'm going to die, and I know I'm going to die. He even cracks a smile for her. So this, he doesn't smile. Argument is utter bullshit. And I'm getting heated, and... I'm sick of the fact that what are we 2 years removed from BVS and even 4 years removed from Man of Steel, and we're still hearing this bullshit claim.
Well, I'm glad we have another scene now in this trailer to as a defense for that, because, yeah, I agree. I totally disagree with that claim, because it's like, I mean, there's so many examples that I can give.
Just because he's not winking at the camera like a fool or saving a cat out of a tree doesn't mean he's not Superman. And yes, the actor flying towards the camera, winking at the camera, takes me out of the movie experience. I'm sorry, it does. It may fill everybody else with a piss full of nostalgia, but it takes me out of the movie. Again, I love Christopher Reeve's Superman, but I hate that moment. That, to me, it just takes me out of the movie. I'm sorry. And when Brandon Routh did it, not my cup of tea. Like, I don't need to just fly into space is fine. Pump up the volume of the music. But that winking to the camera, it just pulls me right out of the freaking thing. Like, he's not Deadpool. He doesn't have to break no fourth wall. He doesn't have to smile at me. He doesn't have to wink at me. Just carry on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And you know what? Speaking of Superman the movie, and a movie that I enjoy, it's not, I don't hold it as up there as the you know, be all end all superhero movies like some people do. I respect it for what it accomplished for the genre, but that's as far as it goes. But to quote, to reference Superman the movie, that whole scene, this opening scene of the Justice League trailer, is a beautiful homage to the scene in Superman the movie when young Clark is saying goodbye to his mother before he goes off to find the fortress.
Yeah.
To the point where even Clark's shirt that he's wearing in the Justice League is the same color pattern and almost virtually the same as what young Clark wore in that scene way back in 78. And I love that. And look, see, everybody that was worried that we're going to go back to the camp of Christopher Reeve, look, you're still evoking the Richard Donner Superman without making it campy or ridiculous. They just did it in this trailer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was Donner's Superman minus camp.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Minus the cheese.
All right. So, I mean, should we move on to the scene?
Carry on. Rant over. Carry on. At least for now.
So I think that the next thing we get in the trailer is we get some shots of like Metropolis where we see the monument to Superman and we hear about how there's like I guess a crime wave or whatever, same thing we were hearing in the last trailer sort of, and then we get Bruce and we hear him talking about this quote, and he's talking about do you remember what the quote was exactly, Adam?
Aquaman is saying, because apparently this is happening, the context for the scene is this is probably the scene where he goes and recruits or tries to recruit Aquaman. And Aquaman is saying, haven't you ever heard, something along the lines of men work better when they're alone. Haven't you ever heard that quote? And Bruce Wayne returns, that's not the quote at all. It's the exact opposite.
Yes, yes.
That was it. Some variation of that quote.
Yeah, and I think it's great because it sort of harkens back to before the scene we've seen before of Gordon so I see you're working with others again, and he's like maybe temporary, but it's still the idea that he's that Bruce is, you know, forming a team again, just like he did with the Bat family. And that sort of, I feel like Bruce, even though he has a lot of people perceive him as a loner, really he's not. And he's really, he's a great leader. And when he works with a team, I really, as much as I like seeing sort of solo Batman adventures, I love seeing him, whether it's the Bat family or whether it's the Justice League, I love seeing him working with the team. And I think that is something that Bruce understands is the value of that team. And I think we see that here.
Oh, definitely. And I'm with you. Look, I like solo Batman. I really do. But I also love him with it in the team dynamic. Not like, because these movies, okay, are can function much like the comic books. The movie can be a solo Batman story when it needs to be, like Matt Reeves' version. or supposed, you know, what he's planning. Or it could be a Justice League film where, out of necessity, he comes together and joins the team.
Best of both worlds.
Exactly. Like, much like the comic books function. You have Batman standalone stories where we don't hear a peep from any other Justice League member. And then you have the team-up book. It's exactly... The principle applies. So, you know, I'm not one of those guys where Batman's going to be alone. It's solo Batman or bust. I get there are people with those feelings, and that's fine. That's their choice to feel that way. That's their aspect of Batman that they enjoy the most, and I understand that. But for me, the source material has proven that you can make it work both ways, and it could be the same Batman just telling a separate story. And if that's the way the films go, great. But again, he, even though he reluctantly works with a team, he can be a good good team builder for sure. And these scenes prove that. Continue.
Oh, I was gonna ask you what you wanted to talk about next from the trailer.
Well, let's. I mean, next up we get a couple of. Chronologically, because I've watched it about 4 or 5 times, but I don't have it memorized. We get a lot of what I thought they did well was they show you, like, these are a lot of shots that we've seen. You know, like Aquaman jumping jumping off the Batmobile, I should say.
Yeah.
But there was extensions of those scenes.
And I will say about that, I like the Batmobile scene in BVS. I thought was amazing, and I'm just so excited because it looks like we're going to get something again in that vein with this. I mean, there's that shot of the Batmobile. He's like shooting. He shoots through that wall in this trailer, and with all the flames coming up. And I thought that just, like, I'm really excited for some more amazing Batmobile action in this movie.
Yeah, there was also what I liked before we get to that, because I think that came later chronologically. But there was a scene where, again, we're taken to that scene on that I think is Themyscira, that battle sequence.
Oh, yes.
Where you see, you know, the parademons flying towards. And even, actually, before that, or no, I think it's in conjunction with that scene. So you see parademons flying towards the Amazons, right? And there was a scene where the guy's face started to... He's almost as if he was transforming into a parademon or something.
Oh, you think that? I was going to ask you about that. You think that's what's happening?
That's what it looked like to me. What was your take on that?
Yeah, I really couldn't figure it out. It literally looked like he was, like, disintegrating or something almost.
Good point. You're probably right. Because, but is that the Themyscira battle? Because why is there a man there?
Yeah, I mean... Is it possible that they, like, fought with the Atlanteans or something during that?
That's been the rumor, so maybe that is an Atlantean. You're right, it could be. The visual of that, like, every time, notice we keep getting a bigger snippet of that visual each trailer. And the visual this time around, I mean, every time it's so good, but this time around, like, that sequence, the wide shot of that sequence, and then, you know, that's like Lord of the Rings / Game of Thrones level breathtaking cinematography. I mean, it looks phenomenal. I'm like, I can't wait to see this in an IMAX theater.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of the scene at the beginning of Wonder Woman with the Amazons of Themyscira, that battle scene. So it's like, it's more of that, but on an even grander scale.
This seems even bigger. Yeah, exactly. On a grander scale. And at this point, I think overlaying with these scenes are, and again, you get the scene where Steppenwolf is coming down with the axe or the chains or whatever the hell he's wielding. You know, and So you get a version of that scene again.
Yeah. Is that the part you're talking about where he's actually fighting Wonder Woman? Because there's a part where he's fighting...
No, that's later on. But
that's later. Okay.
In this whole Themyscira portion, or what we think is Themyscira, you're getting a voiceover by Bruce Wayne who's saying, I had a dream that something is coming. And then Wonder Woman says, an invasion. And he says something darker. What I liked about that bit of dialogue is it's calling back to the nightmare sequence.
Yeah.
So it's dealing, again, this is Snyder and Terrio said that scene would get paid off in Justice League. And based on this trailer, it looks like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And that's something, that nightmare scene, which was awesome in BVS, I was that was something I was a little bit worried about because, and here, this might be a little bit of a tangent, but basically, my belief is that it was originally intended to lead into an Injustice-inspired storyline. That is my theory,
Which, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, which we still may get with Flashpoint, but...
It's possible. My belief is that the negative reception to the portrayal of Superman in Batman v Superman led them to not pursue that path in terms of doing an Injustice-inspired storyline in the DCEU. So my worry was that they were going to completely drop the nightmare sequence altogether. Based on this trailer, however, even though I would have liked to have seen that Injustice-inspired, wherever they were going with that at some point, I like that this trailer sort of indicates to me that perhaps they're just repurposing that scene in terms of at least they're not dropping it completely. And it looks like this is something that is going to be come up in terms of Bruce has seen this vision in he saw it in Batman v Superman and in terms of him bringing up that he saw that vision. But I don't think it's going to go any further than that. But I was just going to wrap up by saying I'm really glad that Bruce is at least acknowledging it in this movie, so it is getting a little bit of a payoff.
But I disagree with you a little bit in the fact that we're not going to see it at all, because I think you're right that they were going in a Injustice direction. But also keep in mind that Danny Elfman, he said that when he does use the 78 theme, it's going to be a darker, twisted version. And it happens in a moment where I'm trying to get the quote right. We're not sure whose side he's on.
Oh my goodness, Adam. Adam?
Yeah.
A theory just popped in my head regarding that.
Well, what if it might be the same theory I have.
Okay, say your theory first, because you started with that.
We're all assuming that, hey, you know, Wonder Woman, Batman, or some, you know, Cyborg is going to... One of the Justice Leaguers is gonna do something involving the scout ship, and they're gonna put him in the water, and he's gonna come back, and Superman's resurrected, and everybody's gonna be smiling, and you know, hurrah, and everybody's happy, and we're gonna sing Kumbaya, by a campfire roasting s'mores. But what if somehow the forces of Apocalypse and Steppenwolf bring Superman back?
Like in Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah, and what if for a brief moment, Superman is quote-unquote evil?
Yeah, exactly. That is a great theory, because it was just like, in Superman the Animated Series, when he got, like, brainwashed by Granny Goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what if that scene in BVS when Batman is chained to the thing, and Superman burns all the other criminals, and says, you know, and then we're assuming before it cuts away, pulls Batman's heart out or whatever. What if that sequence was Superman being mind controlled by Steppenwolf and the parademons when he comes back from resurrection?
But it doesn't explain the whole thing about Lois dying having died in that nightmare sequence.
Right, but I'm just saying, what if they repurpose that portion of it.
It's possible, but how do you address that part of the nightmare sequence, though? The lowest part.
I've seen movies where they pick up certain things and leave them others that are inconvenient to them behind.
So okay, all right, that's possible.
It could very well be. Let's take the part where Superman was all, well, quote unquote, sort of evil, and play off that, but not mention Lois. Or
okay,
who's to say Lois makes it out of this film?
Yeah. Okay. That's leading into my theory. That was leading into my theory. What if Steppenwolf kills Lois, and that's what leads Superman, and then we get an Injustice-inspired storyline after that.
I would be a real bummer if they kill off Lois.
It would be. It would be.
And it would screw things up for a Superman sequel.
Unless that's what Barry goes back in time for with Flashpoint this time. Instead of to save his mother, he tries to go back in time to stop Superman from going evil after Lois's death. That winds up rebooting the universe. And then after that is when Man of Steel 2 takes place with...
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
I mean, as we were recording, that theory just, as you brought up some of the points you were bringing up, that possibility just came into my head. I don't think it's that likely, because I do think that they have been scared off doing the dark.
Well, I don't know if they'd kill her. See, here's my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to kill her. I don't know if they'd go that road just because they may do the mind-controlled Superman and he's quote-unquote evil without saying that Lois died, right? Just to kind of sort of allude to that vision a little bit further.
Yeah.
But then what about in the world that Flashpoint, the changed Flashpoint universe, Lois could be dead, we just don't see her dead. And that gives us a different Superman, and for that movie specifically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that could work too. That could work too.
That was my thought.
That would be a really good way. I mean, I thought what they did with Superman in the Flashpoint comics was cool, but that would be another way of doing a twist on Superman in the Flashpoint world.
That would be a waste of Henry Cavill if you did the exact Flashpoint. If you did the exact Flashpoint story, specifically the Superman portion, then what the hell? I mean, Henry Cavill, there's no point in bringing him back. Just drop the Superman portion of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, either one of us is right or none of us is right. We'll find out on November 17th. But let's continue on with the next phase of the trailer.
Okay.
So, after all this, we get some more action shots. With, you know, and the cool thing is, like I mentioned earlier, Batman tells them, you know, they never tell us, and I kind of like this because I think one of the things that this trailer shows with not showing how Superman is resurrected and not going overboard with details on what, who, why, when, and where exactly. In terms of the nature of the villain. What I think this trailer does is, and the previous trailers have done, is learn from the BVS marketing mistake, which was by the time that fourth trailer came along, you could pretty much piece together the narrative of BVS. You pretty much knew what was going to happen. There was virtually no guessing. Is that fair?
I mean, I feel like they did give away. They probably gave away a little bit too much with BVS. I wasn't one of the people that was super upset about the Doomsday reveal, but I think it probably should have been.
It didn't bother me, but I think the trailer spelled everything out too clearly that I could piece together the movie. Like I said, the only question I had was, would they actually have the balls to kill him off? That was my only question. But what I think the Justice League trailer, this trailer and the other ones have learned, is that we don't have to blow our load in a trailer. Like, let's say, sorry to get crude, but it's the best analogy I got. Let's save some stuff for the show. And so I love the fact that, look, we're trying to play this guessing game. And why? Because we don't know exactly how Superman comes back. We don't know the exact, I mean, we get it. It's something to do with the mother boxes. But we don't have everything spelled out for us with Steppenwolf. And I love that.
Yeah.
And Batman, it doesn't say, well, I brought you together because of this scenario. I mean, because even Batman didn't know what scale, based on his vision, what exactly that meant. It just gave him the idea of, hey, maybe I should, recruit these metahumans. And when he says in the trailer, I made a promise to Superman, and that's why I'm bringing you together. That's enough. That's enough of a reason to preemptively start the Justice League.
I love it. I love it because the whole thing with Batman v Superman was Batman was inspired by Superman's action. And so I think it's great to see that carry over now into Justice League and see him make good on that sort of inspiration, on that promise to Superman, sort of not really a promise to Superman, but after Superman had died, he said the thing to Diana where he was like, I won't fail him in death. So to see him make good on that, though, basically.
So I love that. That's the core reason. We get some more cool action shots.
I love the one where Cyborg saves Aquaman.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that, but the snippet of underwater fighting between Aquaman and what I assume is a parademon looked great. I mean, and if that's what we have to look forward to, not only in this film, but going forward, with Aquaman. Then visually, the DC Films version of Aquaman is going to be truly something to behold.
Oh, absolutely. I got excited right from BVS when we saw that scene of him shooting through the water.
Right.
And then,
but you could already see what my... tell me if you agree.
Uh-huh.
From that one brief moment to the shots of the underwater in the trailer, it's already improved leaps and bounds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's true. We're getting to see more close-up stuff in terms of, that. And we saw was it the last trailer? I think it was actually the trailer before, the first official trailer, when we saw Mara in the water, which looked really
cool. No, but you know what I'm saying? The visuals are getting better from film to film with Aquaman.
Yeah, absolutely. And so hopefully it'll be just even more amazing in James Wan's actually Aquaman film.
Right. Okay, now you talk about the sequence with you that you wanted to bring up with Aquaman and Cyborg.
Oh, with Cyborg. Cyborg basically catches Aquaman and he's falling, and Aquaman goes, "My man!" And then he basically goes and he throws his trident into one of the parademons. And I just thought, I want somebody to make a GIF of that, of Aquaman saying "my man" right there, because I think I would use that quite a bit. So if anybody who's listening wants to make a GIF of that and send it to me, because I don't know how to make a GIF, do that, and I'm going to probably use it all the time, because that was an awesome scene.
Even Cyborg, when he says the ride's not over yet, and he launches him towards the parademon, that was cool. And that scene, I don't know if this is gonna how it's gonna play out in the film, but that scene dovetails into the landing on the Batmobile scene.
Yes,
that was cool.
And it's all these, but both Cyborg saving Aquaman and then Aquaman riding on the Batmobile, what this is to me is both of those represent what excites me most about this movie, and it's these team-up moments between the heroes, like seeing them work together for the first time in a live-action movie. It's these scenes that are going to make this movie so special. It's seeing these characters work together like this. It's just so exciting for me as a DC fan, as a Justice League fan, as somebody who grew up watching the Justice League animated series and watching them work together like this, to see this put into a live action movie. It's incredible. Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by the pairings as well. Like, if you notice, we got a lot of Aquaman and Cyborg in this.
Yeah.
And they represent like the two outcasts of the group, because, you know, one is a half Atlantean. One is more, you know, more at home in the water. The other one is basically a humanoid machine.
Yeah.
And then you have Barry, the youngest member of the group.
Yeah.
Teaming up with the two veterans in Batman and Wonder Woman. And gaining experience from them. I like the pairings I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, me too. And we'll get into that, because I have a feeling that one of the highlights of this movie for me is going to be the Bruce and Barry dynamic.
We'll get to that in a minute. But what I also want to get your thought on, uh-huh. I think every time we've seen Cyborg in one of these trailers,
yeah,
the CGI has improved every single time out.
Okay, here's what I'll say about this. I can't really give a comment about this, because I am the guy who never notices bad CGI. People will tell me a movie has bad, like the Green Lantern movie from 2011. I watched that movie. I thought it looked great. And then everybody told me, oh, it had bad CGI. I still watch that movie. I like that movie quite a bit. But every time I watch it, I'm like...
I'm going to agree. That's the one crazy thing you haven't said about movies that you like that I don't like. I don't look. Green Lantern gets a lot of flack. It's not as bad as everybody else. Everybody makes it out to be. I enjoyed it for what it was.
Hey, no, we agreed. We agreed on one.
Was it the right long? Because look, sidebar from the trailer for a second. That was supposed to be the launching point for a connected DC universe. It was. That was the one. And then for whatever, it didn't succeed, so they scrapped that idea. But
It deserved at least a standalone sequel. It deserved. I really wanted to see a payoff of Sinestro, but I don't want to get off on a tangent about Green Lantern.
But no, my point is, like, I again, you can't tell me that. And here comes our disagreement again. But
okay.
People talk about Green Lantern as if it's as bad as Batman and Robin and Catwoman, and it's nowhere near. Nowhere near as bad as those two films. Like, those two films, to me, along with the likes of Steel, Jonah Hex, are absolute shit fests. And people talk about Green Lantern like it is one, and it's not. And look, I don't care. People will laugh at me. People will scoff. People will do whatever they want. I really don't give a damn. But I'll say this right now, and then we'll get back to the trailer. Of movies that came out in 2011, and this has nothing to do with being a DC fan or not, I like Green Lantern a hell of a lot more than I did Thor. I said it.
Alrighty.
and with that, send your hate mail. I really don't care.
Well, I don't think, I mean, we've made so many controversial statements on this episode, so, I mean, I don't know. No,
I've made factual statements. You've made some real, you've had some crazy talk, especially at the beginning. But, you know, hey, back to the trailer. we got to the moment where we did the Aquaman stuff,
mm-hmm.
which was cool, and then there was the moment of the one moment was the when the parademons attack the Batmobile and they rip off the roof.
Oh, and when Wonder Woman came and knocked them off?
First of all, that poor car has taken a beating in BVS. And now just leave that beautiful piece of machinery alone, goddammit. It's pristine. Leave it alone. It's a beautiful work of art. You people keep destroying it. But anyway.
Well, if Batman wants to get rid, if one of them gets messed up, but is still like, you know, in fairly good shape, but Batman wants to get rid of it, you know, I wouldn't mind driving that around.
I'll take it. So anyway, yeah, the parademons are about to attack, and Batman's got that old shit look on his face again from BVS. And then what happens is, again, old school WWE when it was WWF and it was good. Wonder Woman comes in and gives a double clothesline to the parademons, knocking them God knows how far. And then Flash runs in and does something, but he was so fast I couldn't see what he was doing. And then the shot pulls in real tight to Wonder Woman's face.
Yup.
And she gives this smile, and I swear to God, Gal Gadot's smile has got to be the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, she did it in BVS when she got knocked down by Doomsday, and then we saw young Diana do it in Wonder Woman when she saw the God Killer sword for the first time, and now we're seeing it again here, and it's awesome.
Like,
it's awesome.
Like, she smiles, and my heart skips about 12 beats.
Yep.
Like that woman could just smile at me all day, and I'd be like, uh-huh.
You know the gif? You know the gif of her smiling and dancing in a circle?
Oh, man. And like I said, when I can say that Gal Gadot smiling is the most beautiful thing in the DC Films universe, this is the same universe that has Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. So what does that tell you about Gal Gadot smiling? But at that moment, I'm like, oh, man, I'm just ready for her to lay waste to these friggin' parademons.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that scene where she's fighting off Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the one I brought up earlier. Yeah.
Another cool shot. And then we get to the... was there anything before we got to the end of the trailer or the after title sequence?
Not that I remember. Let's get to that after title sequence, I should say, because I that was hilarious.
Oh, by the way, before that, in the shot, you know the shot where the bat signal goes up and Batman's looking at it, and you see the Batwing on autopilot.
Yeah.
Rising up. That shot again. Let me preface this. And I know you disagree with me, but I don't care. Dark Knight Trilogy, masterpiece, right? Great version of Batman, amazing.
Absolutely, that I don't disagree with you on.
But from a visual aesthetic point of view, to me, and that shot of Batman looking at the bat signal with the bat wing hovering is part of it. Batman has never looked better.
Yeah, I do disagree a little bit, but I mean, he does look great in that shot.
Pay no attention to the man talking about behind the curtain, because remember, in his list of favorites are Catwoman and Batman and Robin. So,
in my list of favorites,
listen to me, folks. I know what I'm talking about. Just stick with me; you'll be fine.
I guess this might be my final controversial statement of the night.
Okay, what do you think? Please, tell me. What's a better visual than what we've seen of Ben Affleck as Batman? Go ahead.
My favorite live-action bat suit is the Dark Knight Rises bat suit.
Ridiculous. No, ridiculous. Had you said, look, I'll give you... Had you said Batman Begins, I would have halfway excused you.
It's because that one's got the smaller bat symbol on it that I like better than the Begin suit.
I hate that bat symbol. I don't hate the suit, but it's too segmented and it's too armored for me.
That's what I like about it. It's practical.
Oh, and, You know the best bad suit up until Batfleck? You know what the best bad suit for me was?
What?
Batman Begins. I loved it. I loved that suit. The cowl. Everything. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful piece of artistry, that thing.
Well, I will disagree with you there, because I love the Begins suit, too. My thing is,
And then Nolan went batshit crazy. Oh, that's man, he's gonna look like some SWAT Navy SEAL hybrid with all this segmented, you know, this friggin' crap. It was too segmented. I didn't mind, like, that was good enough. And, you know, the Batman Begins advance. It was just, let's change it for the sake of, and okay, I get it. Oh, I want to move my neck. You could have just changed the cop. All right, you didn't have to go full on. And I get it. Batman got stabbed. I got bit by the dogs. How often are you going to come up against dogs? Like, really?
Well, if Harley Quinn ever came into that universe, it would be Bud and Lou.
Okay, but it's Nolan's universe. She was never coming in.
I know.
The Batman Begins suit was perfect. Do you know why they wanted to change it? So they can force me to buy another statue, which I did. Damn you, people. You made me buy. Look, I like the suit. But I got nothing against the suit. But in Nolan's trilogy, well, I do have something. It was too segmented for my days. I like it as a Batman suit. It's just not my favorite. In the Nolan world, Batman Begins was the epitome of the best looking suit. And you can tell me that to me that's the best looking suit. Let's, you know, okay, I'm going to do a poll right now. I'm calling, screw it, I might even put this on our Facebook page and our Twitter. But I'm gonna make a call. Please, audience members, if you're too shy to leave questions, that's fine. But settle this debate. What is the better bat suit? The Dark Knight Rises suit or Ben Affleck's Batman? Go ahead. Settle this debate, please.
Make the
right decision, or anybody that votes the other way, I'm going to mute you all. No, I'm kidding. But,
let me make a defense before everybody starts going to answering that poll.
Because you know you're going to lose. Go ahead.
My defense for me, I always, and this is why I love the Begin suit as well, just not quite as much as the Dark Knight Rises suit, but an all-black bat suit is always going to be my preference. Because to me, that makes so much more sense for Batman, because that would allow him to blend into the shadows better than like a gray suit. I think that makes, in terms of, I love practical bat suits, and that's what it is. So that's why the armor works for me, and that's also why it being all black works for me, because it seems like it would be better for camouflage. But I guess that's what I'll say about that.
Two things. First of all, I don't think Batman stood out. In either BVS or Suicide Squad, it's not like, oh, there he is. We could spot him, you know, like an eyesore. He stuck to the shadows pretty good in both of those movies. He sure as hell surprised Deadshot. Deadshot didn't see him coming. And the other thing is, you said you like the practical aspect of it. Then you're gonna love. See, here's the difference. The Justice League batsuit, even though it's even before the tactical suit, okay, you can see that it's segmented to protect certain areas.
Yes.
Right. You could notice that.
Yeah.
But they still managed to make it look less like military grade armor, and more like a Batman costume, a Batman suit.
That's what I liked about the Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises suit. Is that it looked like some kind of military armor, like.
But it almost took away, like, in certain shots, it took away from. Like, first of all, that emblem became so non-noticeable that why, like, by the Dark Knight, why even have it on there? The bat logo.
I mean, I could see it.
It's too. Come on, it's with you. You had that extra piece, and then it was another raised piece on it. It was, come on, it was too messy. And then the thing is, again, like I said, to me, the thing that signaled that out, that I knew I was watching a Batman movie for sure. And again, I just finished saying, I love the trilogy. It's a great portrayal of Batman. But the only thing that in those later suits that kept me in the world, yeah, this is Batman, was two things. The cape and the cowl.
Oh, come on, man.
It looked like an upgrade. It looked like a few, like almost like a slightly futuristic SWAT uniform.
It was awesome. I love that suit. We got to finish talking about. We'll see what people say about this poll.
All right. So just to reiterate, here's the poll. And I'll put it on. I'm gonna put it on. In, you know what? Should I put it on in advance of the release of this podcast, or after you release it? When should I put it on?
Yeah, either way is fine. I would probably say after, just so people know if they listen to the episode what we're talking about.
Well,
why
I can, you know what? I want to know the answer. I'm going to preface it on Facebook. We recorded a podcast. We got into a debate.
Okay. All right. That works. Okay.
Here's the argument. Okay. Which Batman suit is better? This is the poll.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight. / Dark Knight Rises suit, or the BVS Suicide Squad / Justice League Batman suit. Which one is better?
Just make sure you don't close the poll until the episode's out, so that people who are listening right now have time to vote if they just heard about it through this.
I'll leave it up till Justice League comes out for all I care. I don't care how long you guys want to vote on this, but. Settle the argument. Now, but should it be, before we get into the final part of the trailer, should it be, do you want me to be fair, do you want me to pick, because the Dark Knight Rises suit was one suit.
Yes.
Is there a particular Ben Affleck Batman suit you want me to pick?
Oh, that is a good question.
I'll be fair. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. I like it better than all of the Ben Affleck Batman suits.
Yeah, but we've established the point that you're either drunk or crazy. My point is, which one do you prefer that I put down in the poll? That's all I'm asking.
Well, I guess if I want to win this poll, I should probably pick the Ben Affleck Batman suit that I like the least. But then again, I'm not sure if that would be fair.
The mech suit doesn't count. Well, you'd still lose because everybody loves that part of the Dark Knight Returns. But to me, that's an addendum.
Does the suit with the silver bat symbol count?
No. It's got to be in movie, on screen. None of this bullshit marketing SOB crap.
Oh, my goodness.
Straight up, which is it? You want the BVS one? The BVS Batman suit?
Go ahead and go with the main BVS Batman suit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll post pictures and people can vote.
All right.
Okay, all right. Let's get to the... Enough of Jordan's crazy rantings about ridiculousness. Back to the trailer, the end tag of the trailer. Now, go ahead, set it up, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, so basically, it's Bruce, Barry, and Diana. And basically, the bat symbol shines, and Barry gets really excited, and he says really loud, he goes, "That's your symbol. That means we need to go, doesn't it?" And then he's like, "Oosh!" And he starts like trying. He realizes he talked too loudly, and he like shushes himself. And then Bruce is like, "Yeah, that means that's what that means." I think is what he says. Yeah. Sort of his very dry humor Batman response.
That's exactly what that means.
And then Bruce gives the funniest facial expression to Diana about like, "Can you believe this kid?" Basically, is what the expression meant to me.
It's almost like two parents when their kid says something so ridiculous and unexpected, and they share a look with each other. That's what that look reminded me of.
I laughed my ass off.
And you know what? The humor in this, people were saying, "Oh, too dark." The other movies were too dark. I thought, at least from the trailer, all the humor that was present felt natural in all the trailers.
Yeah, I agree. I think Barry and Bruce's dynamic is going to be so funny in this movie. I just cannot wait.
Would you? I can't wait for that either. But would you agree that the humor felt organic and natural?
Yeah. Never. I agree 100%, but I didn't. The thing for me is, though, I didn't have the complaint about the lack of humor in Man of Steel or BVS.
I'm just saying in general, you felt that in the trailers that we've seen so far, including this one, the humor felt natural and flowed well.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And this is in sharp contrast to some garbage like both Thor movies, where the humor was so forced and shoehorned, and those two idiots, Jane Foster and her stupid sidekick, were making jokes. Every line out of their mouth were jokes. That's not the way to do humor. This is a much more appropriate way to sprinkle humor in one of these movies. I just want to point that out. I love that scene, and I'm going to make a statement now that we'll see if it comes true when Justice League comes out. But here's the two-part point of my statement. I think in terms of moments that are really going to stand out in this film, the one moment that I think is going to take people's breath away and is going to have the most impact is Superman's resurrection.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
I really believe that there are genuinely people. I'm not going to generalize by saying what I was going to say. I'll just keep that to myself. But there are people in the theater, and I'll reiterate this, several. Because what I did was I went to watch BVS, and I went twice that opening weekend. I went once on the Friday with a bunch of buddies of mine that we always go watch these superhero movies together. And then because it was Easter weekend, on the Sunday, I took my family. So I took my mother wanted to come see it, my sister, her husband, and at the time her two kids.
Oh, nice.
So we went on the Sunday, and at the moment when Superman dies, and when it cuts to black after the burial, even though you see the sand move.
Yeah.
There were about, at least in our row, there were about four or five idiots. I call them idiots because to me it was obvious. But there were four or five idiots that, I'm not calling them idiots because they were in tears. They were crying, which is fair because I shed tears too. And I'm confident enough to admit that.
Yeah.
But the reason I call them idiots were like, I can't believe Superman's dead. That's it. And now my mother, who has never read a comic book a day in her life, has never read the Death of Superman storyline, said, and I was so proud of my mother when she did this, she turned to those four people and said, "Don't worry, he's coming back in Justice League."
Hey.
I've never been proud of my mother than right then and there.
That's great.
My point is, there are segments of the audience that don't sit here and analyze every detail of footage, poster, marketing material, etc., that have been out, that have been leaked.
Yeah.
So the idea, to some people, the idea is out there that Superman is dead. There is some that are probably still unsure as to whether he's going to come back or not.
So it'll sort of be a surprise to them, I guess, when they see it in the movie.
Which is why the marketing is – the trailers have been genius not to show us that moment. And if you do another trailer for some reason, again, don't blow your load. Don't show us that. I want to see it in the theater. But there are people that don't know he's coming back. And when he comes – I guarantee you that that moment is going to be the moment of the film. The two standout characters that are going to steal this movie are Aquaman and Flash. I guarantee it. I don't know which one's going to take the lead, but those two are going to steal the show. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that's so to sum up this trailer, I thought it was fantastic. If it is the last trailer, it's a great way to go out. And we are now, as of this recording, what is it? 40 days away from
every morning I check BOF's countdown clock, because on Batman on Film they have a countdown clock, and I think it was either 39 or 40 days.
I think it's 40 days as of this point. Now, so I, my 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 final thought is to use the tagline. I was there before, but this trailer reinforced it. Come November 17th, I'm going to be all in for this movie.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
And by the way, let me just say, I would have preferred if the trailer only had score from the film.
Yeah.
Because I'm not one of those guys. Like I'm old school in the way that I like my trailers with score, not with pop music or rock songs or whatever.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about the song in this trailer.
Right,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I'm bringing it up now before I regret it as when we hang up this recording. I'm typically the guy that says, "Give me the score, give me the score." And typically, and again, if I had to choose, especially with that Hans Zimmer score that just I was just getting goosebumps when I heard it. I'm one of those guys, give me the score over this rock pop music stuff.
Yeah.
Having said that, the David Bowie song they chose for this trailer was actually perfect.
I agree. I thought it worked really well.
And this is opposed to the Come Together song, which I get what they're going for, but my only complaint of all the other trailers was that song. It just felt shoehorned in there. Whereas here it doesn't. I thought the song fit perfectly.
I would say that I like this song the way it was used better, but I thought Come Together. I enjoyed
Come Together. I like Come Together, and I don't mind hearing it as the final track when the credits roll. But you know what I'm saying?
I don't want it in the movie. Certainly not. I definitely don't want it in the movie. I'm just saying for a trailer, I thought it was okay. But I agree with you. I would prefer probably a score. And I definitely like this song better than Come Together in the context of this trailer. But in terms of being in the movie, I don't want any of the pop songs in this movie.
So I'm all in, folks. I'm ready. Let's, like, 40 days. Let's go. Let's. Can November 17th just get here already?
Right. Right. I mean, you said it, I think, a couple episodes ago, even when it was even more than 40 days away, that you were ready to camp out in the theater.
Oh, already. No. Yeah. Listen, I got a bag packed. I got my toothbrush. I got specific clothes I'm going to wear for that day. I got it all planned out, man. They just won't let me stay there that long. I want to camp out in the IMAX theater. They won't let me.
Hey, well, tickets should be on sale pretty soon, right?
Yeah, and by the way, let me address that you brought up. With Wonder Woman, I had to wait a week from the American release of tickets to get mine.
Oh, really?
Fix that shit, Warner Brothers, and I'm getting angry now, or whoever the hell the ticket, who's responsible for that shit? I don't know who's responsible, but fix it, because listen, whether you like it or not, Canada is half of the North American audience. You're precluding me from buying tickets with the rest of the half of your audience. I want to buy it the same day as my fellow American comic book fans. Why can't I buy them the exact same day?
To be fair, Adam, it's not like you're competing for the same tickets that people are.
But I want the satisfaction. Listen, I want the satisfaction of when they go on sale that day. I want my tickets. I don't have to wait a week. That's unfair. Just like to me, this whole idea of, oh, Comic-Con exclusive, I don't buy it. Because look, yeah, there are 6,000 of people in the room, right? They camped out.
Yeah.
You know what their bonus is? Being live with the actors on the panel.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
To me, saving footage for the people in that room when 3/4 of your audience that's going to make the movies like this $800 to $1 billion, theoretically, you used to have to wait to see it. And if they got to see it, it was because of a bootleg camera version. To me, that's an asinine practice. And so is, well, Canadians have to wait a week. So
yeah,
fix that. Fix that. They fix the exclusive footage, at least DC has, where they drop it on the same day. Marvel still hasn't released that Age of Ultron or Infinity War footage from Comic-Con. And
DC didn't give us the Aquaman footage.
Yeah, but look, Aquaman is still a year and a half, 2 months away. I can wait. For that, I can wait.
Yeah.
But, But something that's right around the corner. Like, geez, come on. But what are your final thoughts on the trailer?
I mean, yeah, like I sort of said at the beginning, I thought it was phenomenal. It's neck and neck sort of with the previous trailer in terms of my favorite one. It would be hard for me to get any more excited for this film than I already am. But this trailer did a little bit for that for me, where I'm a little bit more excited even than I already was. So, I mean, I just thought it was, I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, we are so close to this movie, and I mean, I can't believe it. And I thought this was, if this is the final trailer, it's a great one to go out on. If there's another one, I hope it's the same quality as this one, because, I thought this trailer was amazing.
And just before we go, should we clue in the listeners on some of the guests that we have coming on in the near future?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I've got the calendar pulled up right now.
All right, so let's tell them the ones that we have confirmed.
Okay.
That we have locked in on specific dates, so they know what to expect.
All right.
Let's tell them what we're doing for, because we're reviewing the Arrowverse premieres, correct?
Yes.
And we have a guest for that?
We do. Jasmine Alexander will be coming on for the Arrowverse premieres review.
That's something that you found for us, correct? How did you come in contact with?
She's a friend of mine. Okay. I actually met her.
Does she like Batman and Robin too? Is there some like? Is there a group of you? Is there like? Are you underground? Is there like a, you know?
No, she's not in my Batman and Robin fan club as far as
I like her already. Keep going.
Then I've got another friend of mine, Cammie and Ray from the Arrow Squad podcast. She'll be coming on to discuss Wonder Woman with us.
Right, because our plan is, in case we, I'm sure we clued you in, but 4 weeks right leading up to the film, we're going to drop reviews of the previous four DC films movies.
Yeah, I guess we should have said that. Yes, we will be dropping reviews of the four previous DCU movies sort of leading up to Justice League, which is a great segue, Adam, because we have your former co-host. We already announced this, but we can say it again.
Yes. Yes.
Sam Rizzo coming on for our Justice League review.
Okay. Yeah. And then we plan on doing we're not just going to review the current DC movies. We're going to go back and review some of the more, I'm going to call them vintage ones, the classics. Yeah. And we're going to do Batman 89, the Tim Burton, the classic that really took my Batman fandom to another level. And joining us for a Batman 89 retrospective will be Rick Shue from Batman on Film. So we're very excited to have him on.
Yes, indeed.
And he's excited to come on and talk with us. We're in, also from Batman on Film, we're in the early stages of a discussion with Justin Kowalski, another BOF Roundtabler, as they're called on that show. He's going to come on in early 2018. We have a special, unique episode for that. We're not going to tell you about that just yet, because the date is still being determined, and the exact nature of that episode is still in discussion. And before the new year, and before Justin Kowalski comes on, we've reached out to Andy DiGenova of Holy Badcast, and he's going to come on and celebrate Christmas with us, our first Christmas over here at Multiverse Musings. And we're going to review our favorite Christmas movie, Batman Returns.
Yes, indeed.
And we're also going to review the Batman the Animated Series episode, Christmas with the Joker. So that's what we have planned in the near future.
Yeah.
And I think that until then, that brings our episode to a close. We hope you enjoyed our thoughts on the Justice League trailer. Let us know what you thought of the potentially final trailer for Justice League, and also vote in the poll on the Facebook page and on Twitter.
Send in questions, because we didn't get any questions this week. So
we didn't get questions. We want to answer your questions. We had two brave souls that asked questions last week, We didn't bite off their heads, so we won't bite off yours either. Even if we agree or disagree, or you know, with some of the comments you make in the questions, that's fine. We respect your opinion. We'll answer according to our to what we believe. But we like those questions because they bring about further discussion. So feel free to ask, vote in our poll, and tell us what you thought about the Justice League trailer. And until next week, have a great week and a good
Adam,
weekend.
Adam, social media, again, the damn iTunes reviews, my man.
You know, we used to live in a world where this Twitter handle thing wasn't an issue. And it was a lot easier to wrap up a show that way. But should you be so inclined to follow me on Twitter, and if you want to talk about actual, you know, good bad suits like the DC Films version, you can follow me at Superhero Sci-Fi. And if you want to have crazy talk with Justin about Batman and Robin or anything, Catwoman, where can they follow you for that? Your moments of insanity. Where can they?
Hold on. I've got to pull up Justin Kowalski's Twitter handle then, if it's Justin. Jordan.
I called you Jordan. I said Jordan.
Oh, you said Jordan? Oh, my bad.
No, at the beginning of the episode, I said Justin. No, I said Andy.
You called me Justin so many times. Now I forget. Now I just hear my name is Justin when you say it. By the way, since Adam just gave his Twitter handle, go ahead and send him gifts from the Smallville episode where Lana's a vampire. Because...
I will block you so hard. listeners, if you want to send me gifts, send me the one of the Nicodemus episode with Lana. Those you can send all day long.
Oh man. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. My handle on both is @BatmanDelivery. And please, I am happy to get any Smallville gifts at any time. So if Adam doesn't want to take them, I'll take them. Send those my way.
And if you want to follow him in real life, just head to your local Arkham Asylum. He'll be there telling you that Catwoman is half decent. I will stand by that.
I will stand by my enjoyment of Catwoman. And please. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave us an iTunes review. We will read it on the show. So if you want to do that, that would be awesome as well. So I guess that does it, Adam, huh?
Jordan, have a good week. Enjoy the Arrowverse premieres.
You too, man.
And same to our listeners out there. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.